BAP. Baseball is back.
He doesn't want a super spreader out there in the middle of the field.
The season is different. On the field, in the socially distant clubhouse, in the empty stands.
You guys wanted to do it. You've been wanting to do it for months.
There's a lot to talk about.
Who are you kidding? Don't give me all that bull crap.
And this is the place to do it. This is the Baseball Reporters with Tony Mass.
Brought to you by Big Y, Safety Insurance, Rodenheiser Home Services, Woodbridge Wines, Gravely, Budweiser, and Jackson Lumber.
On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, here we go. Major League trading deadline is come and gone. A couple hours ago, expired at 4 p.m. Red Sox made a couple of moves today. We'll tell you what those were. And I think the bigger news of the day is the deal that involved the Cleveland Indians and the San Diego Padres that I think does relate to the Red Sox, which we'll get to here in one moment. But first, let me tell you, phone lines are open right away. We have only a half-hour program tonight, so if you want to get in on the Red Sox, now's the time to do it. 617-779-0985 is your number on the Baseball Reporters program. Again, 617-779-0985. Since the last time I was with you, the Red Sox have made three deals. They sent Mitch Moreland out to San Diego for a couple of prospects in the Padres system, both ranked in the teens. And when I say in the teens, they were inside the top 20 prospects in the San Diego system, which is not necessarily a bad thing. That San Diego system widely regarded as one of the best in baseball. So the Red Sox got a couple of players for Mitch Moreland. More on him a little bit later. They then made two more deals today. Kevin Pillar to the Colorado Rockies for a player to be named, and Josh Osich, left-handed pitcher to the Cubs, for a player to be named. I would not expect anything significant on either of those deals. So let me just tell you up front now, reassessing the whole thing. Mitch Moreland gone. Heath Hembree gone. Who's the other reliever the Red Sox had in that deal with the Phillies? I'm drawing a blank now, and I know who it was. Brandon Workman. Brandon Workman gone in the deal with the Phillies, along with Kevin Pillar and now Josh Osich. So five players the Red Sox shipped off, including Mitch Moreland. Okay, they shipped off all those players. Did they do enough at this deadline, Jim Murray? Did they do enough?
No, not at all. I mean, did anything really change, or they're just doing some minor moves? Do you feel better about their pitching staff for the next 3 years, or in terms of their rotation? Did you necessarily see anything creative from Chaim Bloom, which I was told was one of the things he could do, was be creative? It's what he did in Tampa. So no, not at all.
No. Not enough. There was more to do, and they didn't do it. Now, look, if you're telling me that Bloom's going to hold on to guys and move them during the offseason, then fine. We'll see what happens there, and we'll see what kind of deals he comes up with then. But there was an opportunity to move J.D. Martinez. They didn't move him. There was an opportunity to move Andrew Benintendi. Even though he's hurt, they didn't move him. Jackie Bradley, still here. These are all players that don't seem to figure into the Red Sox future, at least based on some of the things we've heard. They're all still here. I think the Red Sox should have been more active at this deadline. Now, the Philly deal ended up being probably the biggest deal that Bloom made. We'll see how that shakes out with Connor Siebold and Nick Pivetta. But there wasn't a significant move there that would alter our perception of the Red Sox. Not one in the lot. All small deals, relatively speaking. Okay, all small deals. Here's what I think the biggest piece of news is. For those of us debating who's on the market and who isn't, who would the Red Sox move? I go back to something Kenny Rosenthal reported, which was over a week ago now. In fact, almost exactly a week ago, Kenny Rosenthal in The Athletic wrote, "The Red Sox Andrew Benintendi is an available 3+ hitter, but he was batting 103 with a 442 OPS before going on the injured list with a strained rib cage." Available is what Rosenthal wrote. The discussion around Andrew Benintendi concerned Mike Clevenger of the Cleveland Indians, who today went to San Diego. And I think that this is worth mentioning because listen to what the Indians got for Clevenger. Six players, including right-handed pitcher Cal Quantrill, left fielder Josh Naylor, catcher Austin Hedges, a shortstop, a left-handed pitcher, and another shortstop. Okay, Quantrill was 2-0 with a 2.60 ERA in 10 appearances this year for the Padres. So now, I'm not telling you there's a stud prospect in there, but based on everything I've read today, People throughout baseball feel like the Indians got a lot for Clevinger, who was the biggest piece available at this trade deadline. Here's what I'm telling you. The Red Sox offered Benintendi and the Indians said no. That's what I think happened here. The Red Sox offered Benintendi and Cleveland said, you got to give us more than that, because it feels to me like they got more from the Padres than just an Andrew Benintendi clone.
Well, as they should, too, because their eyes work and they realize he's not that good. I thought any talk, and McCarthy and I, you know, did the show on Friday, any talk that it was a straight up one for one Benintendi for Clevinger was laughable to me. And I know that Clevinger's in his 30s or is 30, but that's just silly.
See, but this should tell you a lot if you're a Red Sox follower, Murray, that if you had hopes that Andrew Benintendi could get you something, you better hope he comes back and plays well here down the stretch and his stock goes back up, because his stock has dropped considerably. And then beyond that, I think it's dropped considerably in the last year plus. The Indians got a lot more for Clevinger than Andrew Benintendi. The Red Sox put him out there. They put him out there. That's what you should take away from today. They put Benintendi out there and they couldn't get decent value for him. Now, the good news, if you want to look at it this way, if you're a Benintendi fan, is that Benintendi could get dealt during the offseason, but barring a return to the field this year, he's going to come back next year, and your outfield will be Benintendi, Verdugo, and then let's call it Jaron Duran in center field. The fact that Jackie Bradley is still here should also annoy you. And I hope it's not related to the news that we learned last week. Dan Shaughnessy wrote about this over the weekend. John Tomasi also wrote about it. Bradley elected not to play last week in the aftermath of the Jacob Blake incident. He received the support of the Red Sox, but a couple of players came out and indicated there was some disagreement in the clubhouse in Boston. One was Kevin Pillar, who was traded today. The other was Ryan Brazier, whom I don't know why he's still here. Why Ryan Brazier would still be with the Red Sox is beyond me, and that they haven't cut his ass loose. All of that said, the Red Sox should have traded Jackie Bradley if they could have gotten something for him, because I don't think he was staying here. I'll be surprised if Jackie Bradley's back with his club next year on a multi-year deal. I think he's making prorated $12 million this year. He's not worth that. And he's not going to take less than that on the market, I don't think. But the Red Sox certainly have a lot of issues. And again, my big takeaway from today, they offered Benintendi to the Indians and Cleveland said no, and they got a better deal from the Padres, which is something else to take from this. The Red Sox don't have the artillery to make deals if serious suitors are involved. They don't have the prospects to deal. Other teams have more, like San Diego. It's going to be a long haul back for Chaim Bloom and the Red Sox. Our buddy Tom's in Quincy. Go ahead, Tom.
Hey, what's up, guys? Tony, I'm thoroughly disappointed in this whole thing. And honestly, the easiest thing that they could have ever done was train Jackie Bradley, and they did not move him, right? And I don't get it, and I don't want to know that it was a political thing, and I don't care about any of that crap. The fact of the matter is, I have been wanting him off this effing team now for like 4 years, and the fact that he is going to be a free agent at the end of the year, and they did not move him, and they did literally, in my opinion, nothing. You know, but my fear, because for some reason, the Boston Red Sox have this super high opinion of Jackie Bradley, and I don't think the rest of baseball feels the same way. And my legitimate fear that it's going to happen after this season is that they do lock him up on a multi-year extension. And I swear to God, if that happens, I don't even know if I can even deal to attempt to watch it. I do not want to see him play on this team anymore. Enough is enough.
Yeah, so Tom, look, I'm going to let you go. I don't think you should really be too worried about Bradley in the long term. He's a free agent, and if I had to guess, I don't think he wants to be here anymore either. Not to say that I could blame him. And at the end of the day, for those of you who are waiting for Jackie Bradley to become some sort of superstar and wait for him to hit, you're a donkey too. The guy's a bottom third of the lineup hitter. That's what he is. He's a terrific defensive outfielder. Although he didn't have a great year last year. This year, early on especially, he was dynamite. But let's not turn him into something he's not. He's a bottom third of the order hitter who plays good defense. Dime a dozen in Major League Baseball. I'd be surprised if they pay to keep him. Carl's in Grafton. Go ahead, Carl.
Matt, thanks for taking my call. I'm a little disappointed in the Red Sox this year, for sure. It's the first time calling. I'm still excited to see baseball, but just want to know, where did the Padres get all this money and all this capital? Like, it's the difference between the two is really stark. Like, just with the product on the field and just kind of what an abject failure this season is for the Red Sox. I mean, I really admire your stamina to have to get through this. And just wanted to say what's up and hope we have a good, exciting season, man. Thanks for taking my call.
Okay, all right, Carl. I appreciate the compliment. Look, with regard to San Diego, this all goes back to the, you know, the Chicago Cubs approach or the Houston Astros approach. You tank, you get high picks, or you go out and get yourself some international free agents or what have you, and you end up with Jose Altuve, Carlos Correa, Fernando Tatis Jr. You get some good dynamic young players. Then you get competitive and you go out and spend the money on Manny Machado and Eric Hosmer and people like that.
It didn't happen overnight. I mean, a build like this or a tank job like this takes like half a decade.
Okay, so here's the question. Is that what the Red Sox are doing? Are the Red Sox tanking? And are they trying to rebuild it for the long haul by getting high draft picks and prospects from other organizations? And they're going to rebuild this thing from the inside out, from the ground up over a long period of time. Maybe. Maybe that is what they're doing. Are you going to wait that long if you're a Red Sox fan? Because I have a problem with that. I have a problem with that. And if that's the case, that means the payroll's coming down too. Because what are you going to do? Spend $200 million on a team that sucks when you can spend $125 or $100? No way. So we'll see how that one shakes out. I don't know if I want to live through that. And secondly, I don't care what other teams are doing. The Red Sox should never, ever be in the position they're in now. They should never be in that spot, ever. I've said this all along. Most teams have to choose between whether they want to be free agent outfits and, you know, attack on the free agent market and be big spenders like the Yankees were for a long time, or they're just player development machines and they pump them out and send them to other clubs. Ideally, teams like the Red Sox and the Yankees and the Dodgers, who are proving it, should be both. You should be able to draft, you should be able to sign, and you should always be able to win. Not this complete clown show that is right now. And that's what this is. A complete clown show. That said, I was very disappointed to see one member of the Red Sox traded away in the last few days. I'll tell you who that is and why. And big happening at Fenway Park yesterday, someone hit his first major league homer, if you call it that. We'll review that when we come back.
This is the Baseball Reporters with Tony Mass on 98.5. This is the show that's all about baseball. The Baseball Reporters with Tony Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Moreland started last night. Was replaced in the 12th. While he was in there, was 0 for 5. As he faces Ryan Madsen, 2 on, 2 out. Dodgers leading by 4. It's 4-3.
We'll get to Mitch Moreland in 1 second. And to those of you on the phone, we'll get to you too. Just sit tight for 1 second. Quickly, time for the Rodenizer Heat Zone. Who's Hot? Brought to you by our friends at Rodenizer Home Services. Murray, do you remember at the beginning of the year I said we're going to learn a lot about guys on the Red Sox this year, who the true pros are?
Oh, yeah.
Xander Bogaerts, home runs in the last two games. He is your Rodenizer Heat Zone Performer of the Week. You know, Bogaerts on pace for 39 home runs on a 162-game schedule.
Damn.
Hit his eighth home run yesterday. On pace for 39 home runs. See, I think Bogaerts is a true pro. I'm not surprised by this.
Franchise player, building block of this team.
And here's what else I would tell you who is a true pro. And I missed badly on this guy when he came to Boston, and that's Mitch Moreland. So let me just get this off my chest, and we'll get to your phone calls. When the Red Sox traded for Mitch Moreland, I take that back, when they signed him as a free agent from the Texas Rangers, and Moreland came here for the 2017 season. He was coming off a year in which he hit .233 for the Texas Rangers. .233. And I remember when the Red Sox picked him up, I said, this guy's a hack. Mitch Moreland is a hack. And his 3+ years in Boston, and the Red Sox re-signed him this offseason. Mitch Moreland had an OPS of 803, and what you just heard was one of the more underrated clutch home runs in Red Sox postseason history. Mitch Moreland's pinch hit 3-run homer against the Dodgers in game 4. Red Sox were down 4-0 in the 7th. Rich Hill got pulled from the game. Ryan Madsen came in, threw a first pitch changeup that Moreland hit about 30 rows deep into the seats. Almost like he knew it was coming, Murray. Sign stealing scandal, all being what it was. But nonetheless, here's what I'll tell you. I was wrong about Mitch Moreland. Mitch Moreland was a good pro here. He was. He was a good player. And a good clubhouse guy, good teammate, didn't pitch when he got pulled out of the lineup, dealt with a lot of nagging injuries, and to me, it was only a positive, really, in his time in Boston. I think I was wrong on Mitch Moreland. Not even close to a hack. Good, solid, professional major league player. The Red Sox did the right thing by trading him, getting something for him, but he was a good role player when he was here. Justin in Brighton. Oh, I'm sorry. I got the wrong line, so sit tight. Justin in Brighton on the Red Sox at the deadline. Go ahead, Justin.
Hey, guys. So I personally think they were too conservative, and I'm wondering if you think it's a case of Heim Bloom being too conservative like we've seen with someone like Ben Charrington in the past, or is it more of a case of not getting the deals they wanted for certain guys?
So, Justin, look, that is the $64,000 question. What's Bloom? Is he the right guy? Does he have the balls to do the job, or is he in over his head? And my answer is, I don't know. It's still early. It's way too early to know. So I'll give him a little more time. Again, it's an odd season, and some of these guys may get moved during the offseason. Maybe J.D. Martinez gets moved. Maybe Benintendi gets moved. We'll start to get a sense, really, of what kind of balls Bloom has in that chair. Is he just going to make safe deals? Do the Red Sox get in the way and they don't want to trade J.D. Martinez? Who can opt out? So that's the thing. If J.D. Martinez opts out and you get nothing for him, how do you feel about not moving him at the deadline? How do you feel about not moving Benintendi, who maybe they will move this offseason? So to me, there's going to be a lot to look at and pick at with Bloom as time goes on. But I will say that this deadline was hardly spectacular. How about that? Not enough significant moves. And maybe it's because the Red Sox, at the end of the day, really didn't have anything to deal. Again, I think Benintendi was out there and Cleveland didn't want him. John's in the car. John, go.
Tony, do you feel like all we're missing is Larry Lucchino's love letter saying that season tickets are going to go up even though we're getting worse by the day? Remember that?
Of course, yes.
In the Herald. Oh, one of my favorite Larry moments, and you know how much I love him. Tony, it doesn't matter. Balls is irrelevant here. Look at the GMs they've had in the past. You've had Epstein. You've had Dombrowski. No matter who's there, they meddle and get involved, and they is the front office. Are you telling me there was no way to get rid of J.D. Martinez or Jackie Bradley when 8 National League teams are going to make the playoffs this year? I mean, you don't need imagination. You need a heartbeat, and they're still here. This has nothing to do with Heim Bloom. He's just a guy behind the deli counter, like, he is, and the next 10 guys after him are going to be, because this team cannot stay out of the baseball operations way, and every time they get involved, they make the situation worse. You want farmhand, you want talent in the minor league system, let these guys do what they do best. They're not going to get that chance, and it's too bad.
Okay, so John, look, again, I don't know what Heim Bloom is, and I'll tell you this, Theo had balls. Theo had balls, independent of the ownership, he had balls. Dombrowski had him, too, to the point of stupidity, I think. But Theo had balls. He traded Nomar at the deadline in 04. He was younger than Bloom is now. Theo had balls. He was willing to pull the trigger on a big deal. So, again, it's one thing to say ownership meddles and intervenes. They do. It's another thing to say that the GM has balls. So Ben Charrington had the same ownership as Theo. He'd have never made that deal. He'd have never made that deal with Nomar. Theo was willing to do it. Quickly, Bob and Methuen. Bob, go ahead.
Hey, Tony. I think the biggest problem for the Red Sox going back to the Betts deal is for a team that's in desperate need of pitching, through all of this, they only acquired 2 pitchers in return. If I was them, I would have taken shots on high-ceiling guys, raw guys in other team systems just to get pitching into our system. Oh, I should say the Sox system.
Yeah, so
and
Bob,
they did not do that.
Yeah, listen, that was the big failing of the Betts deal, and I think that's a fair criticism of it. That a team that desperately needs pitching made a deal with an organization that has one of the best farm systems in baseball historically, year in and year out. There has never been an organization better at producing talent, particularly pitching, than the Dodgers. And he didn't get any pitching back. Now, again, while we're on the topic of meddling, I don't know, did they have pitching back and Bruce Zargarderol and ownership stepped in and said, uh-uh, we're not going to take a guy whose arm's ready to explode. We did enough of that with Dombrowski. Is that what happened? I don't know. So they ended up with three positional guys, and I think Jeter Downs can play. So we'll see. Verdugo looks like a player. A good one, not a great one. A pretty good player. But he's not great. But if you get two solid everyday players out of that deal, you're probably doing okay. I think that's all right, because, again, Betts wanted out of here, I think. That's my opinion. And so you're better off getting something for him now than nothing later. And they would have been in that spot with Betts. They would have had to move Betts at this deadline, as it turned out. This deadline. The mistake was not moving Betts at the deadline last year, but that sort of water under the bridge. So we can get more into the Red Sox here as the week goes along. Obviously, more detail. We won't have a program tomorrow night because the Celtics are playing. And we'll have a pregame for you. Pregame tomorrow is at 5 o'clock. Game's at 5:30, so no baseball reporters tomorrow night. But we'll be back with you on Wednesday. Tonight, Bruins Game 5 coming up with Tampa Bay. As Jim Murray would like to say, the final game of the hockey season here in Boston this year. That is coming up next. 6:30 pregame with Judd Surratt and Bob Beers. Taking you right into Game 5. Bruins and Lightning. Game 5 of the Eastern Conference Semifinals right here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Our thanks to you for listening. Short program tonight. We'll have more on the deadline for you here later in the week. Any headlines here, Billy? No headlines. So we'll go right to Surratt and Beers for pregame. Remember, just stay right here on 98.5 The Sports Hub, and you get the game at 7 o'clock. Bye-bye.
The Duncan Bruins pregame show. America runs on Duncan. Bruins hockey is driven by the all-wheel drive Honda CRV.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.